If you all stand, the title of this message is Jews and Christian Identity, Part 1. It's John 10:26. But ye, referring to Jews in verse 24, believe not because ye, the Jews, are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, Jews. America has experienced and is experiencing the judgments of Almighty God. Texas and a small part of Oklahoma are experiencing the greatest bushfire in its history. Close to 1 million acres has already burned. California and Nevada are experiencing a huge windstorm, up to 100-mile-an-hour winds, and as much as 12 feet of snow. What will we experience next week? Brother Nathaniel Kapner grew up in a Jewish household. Both of his parents were Jewish, and his father took him behind the scenes when he was young to where the B'nai B'rith met after the synagogue meeting was over. As a result, he was an eyewitness to a lot of the evil work that the Jewish influencer of Freemasonry, that's the B'nai B'rith, had accomplished and were accomplishing. He is a Jew who claims that he is now an Orthodox Russian Christian. He makes his videos in which he cries out against all the evils that the Jew does. For example, he claims that Russia, the former communist Jewish state, is now more Christian than the former Christian state, the United States. He says that proves who runs America, the communist Jews. He is correct, but he is Jewish. And he is not a theologian. For Jesus said that one like Nathanael doesn't believe his words because he is not one of his sheep. There are many Jews who are on television or radio news shows. There's Mark Levin, Tammy Bruce, who is also an open lesbian, Michael Savage, Dennis Prager, David Horowitz, Ben Shapiro, Greg Gutfeld, Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapler, Jessica Tarlove, Rupert Murdoch, Jared Kushner, Ivana Kushner, who's Trump's daughter, John Stewart, Ari Fleschner, Ted Koppel, Steve Miller, and on and on and on. The remainder are either Mormon, Catholic, or Zionist Protestants. Sid Roth, over $10 million of personal wealth, and Jonathan Kahn, over $34 million of personal wealth, are very wealthy Messianic Jews. Many of them espouse conservative views, but they are loyal to their Jewish traditions. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but contrary to what most people believe, there's no such thing as a good Jew. Here's a summary of Messianic Judaism. It's taken from one of their websites, kind of quoting, Messianic Judaism is 2,000 years old, dating to the time of Yahshua, which is Jesus himself. Jesus was and is Jewish. He was raised in a Jewish home and ministered to Jewish people in the land of Israel. His disciples were Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. The writers of New Covenant or Testament were Jewish, with the possible exception of Luke, and a good case could be made that he too was Jewish. And for a time, the faith was strictly Jewish. By the middle of the first century A.D., tens of thousands of Jewish people believed that Yahshua was the Messiah. End quote. In my opinion, there isn't a correct sentence in any of these statements that they made on this website about what they believe. They are all evil, even if they use some Christian verbiage or espouse conservative ideals. Even if they proclaim a few Christian identity details, they are still no good. Not one of them can ever repent. The Bible indicates that none of them can hear the words of God. All Kenites, Canaanites, Edomites are destined to hell. Matthew 13:39-40. The enemy that sowed them, that's the tares, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. These are the concluding scriptures of the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat was sown by the Son of Man, while the tares were sown by his enemy, the devil. Who are the tares that are to be gathered and burned in the fire? The wheat is to go into God's kingdom, while the tares are to go to the place where the Talmud, the Jews' holy book, says that Jesus is in hell. Notice what Arnold Kennedy writes in his book, The Exclusionists of Israel, on page 63. Quote, Jesus states that every plant is not planted by his heavenly Father. Jesus says that it is the enemy who plants the tares. Jesus also makes it very clear that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, Matthew 15:13. So it is very clear that there are two kinds of people, one from above and one from below in the vineyard. It must still be so today on earth, since the two kinds continue to grow together until the harvest. This harvest is at the end of the age, so it is yet to happen. The churches will never allow this separation of kinds in their teachings, and they include everyone as being able to receive the word. The prophets and Jesus agree that the word was given to Israel alone, unquote. The Jews do not believe because they are not of Jesus' sheep. See the introductory verse. It was and it is impossible for them to believe. They are anti-Christian. There is no such thing as a good Jew. A goat cannot change into a sheep. A tare cannot change into wheat. A bad fish cannot become a good fish. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A Jew cannot become a true Christian. An Antichrist cannot become a Christian. Five verses after verse 26 of our opening scripture, it says that the Jews took up stones again to stone him, Jesus. We lament at the destruction of the mainline Protestant churches in the last century. Almost all of them, and it could be all of them, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Anglican, Congregational, Calvinistic, Quaker, Anabaptist, and the Mormon Church used to be segregated, but now have changed in the last 100 years to be multicultural and multiracial in their congregation and clergy, and are universal in their gospel outreach. There were significant numbers of Roman Catholic and Jews which did not rise in population in America until the period between 1880 and 1910. Since they have arrived in America in large numbers, they have taken over the government and have brought down the country to being no longer a Protestant Christian nation. And it is even worse now in the churches. This is from Chuck Baldwin's column on February 22, 2024. This is a summary of what he wrote. And as America foments war around the world, as it cautiously murders tens of thousands of innocent people, as it teeters on the brink of financial insolvency, as its cities are turned into war zones, as armies of our nation's enemies swarm across our borders, and as Americans continue to elect and re-elect the scum of the earth to the most powerful positions of government, pastors celebrate Super Bowl Christianity. Crossroads Church in Cincinnati and right down here in Florence, the third largest church in America, performed their annual over-the-top Super Bowl-themed sermon, where the church staff and congregants participate in a service that's loosely framed as a four-quarter football game, but with preaching and inspirational messaging. You can see this on the YouTube, wherever it is. Though its home base of operations in Cincinnati, Crossroads has several established smaller church plants throughout Ohio and Kentucky, totaling around 40,000 active members. In 2014, Crossroads released a promo building anticipating for the Super Bowl preaching, featuring a Bible getting intimate in bed with a football. This year's service featured a very elaborate entrance by the participating players in a wild stage service. Featuring a very elaborate end with a wild stage entrance featuring hype music, confetti, a rock and roll band, and contestants running through a cheering crowd carrying spicy casserole. One of its senior pastors is a non-Adamite, and its halftime show featured music by Usher, AC/DC, Toby Keith, and a pastor recreating Miley Cyrus's viral Wrecking Ball music video. And if you think that is bad, can it get any worse? Can you go to church and learn what the Bible teaches? What about Christian identity churches? Now, I got four books listed here. Who is Esau Edom? What about Seed Line Doctrine? The Origin of Race and Civilization, and Salvation and Eternal Life. They're all written by Charles A. Weissman, and he wrote a lot more books than this. Charles A. Weissman, who is now deceased, was an author who was basically a loner. Well, he had to be. He wrote so many books. He wrote a lot of books. Some of them, in my opinion, were very good and interesting. I have only skimmed through a couple of his books that dealt with the law, but read more thoroughly the books that dealt with theology, but I didn't read all of them. These books had both good and bad statements, but some books a lot better than the others. One of the surprising things, at least to me, is why the No Satan people keep recommending his books, for he was not a No Satan believer. According to all his writings, he had a different belief than most do. For he wrote there was a satanic seed line that was called by God's curse and rejection of Cain because he was the first murderer. Here are a few quotes in one of his books. What about the seed line doctrine? The Edomites also constituted a satanic seed line as they were always ungodly and against God's people. You find it on page 52. I suggest you go back and reread this. If you have his book, you look it up, or you can find the book on the internet and get a copy of it for free. Another quote, the enmity and satanic nature were due to God's curse and rejection of Cain because of Cain's act of murder. It was not due to Eve having sex with a supernatural satanic being. That's also on page 52. Again, the question is not that the Jews are ungodly or satanic, but why they are this way, page 55. The seven Canaanite nations were so contrary to God that he told Israel to eliminate every last man, woman, and child, Deuteronomy 20:17. Thus, as a race, these nations were satanic without any redeeming qualities. That's also on page 52. Weissman admits that the Jews, the Edomites, the Canaanites, and Cain were all satanic, plus they were part of a satanic seed line. He blames it on Cain's murder of Abel and not on the serpent's fathering of Cain. The most wicked and anti-Christian. Charles A. Weissman wrote a booklet called Who is Esau Edom, where he correctly points out the evilness of the Jews. He stated repeatedly throughout this book that the, quote, Jews are the most anti-Christian people on the face of the earth, page 20. He wrote that the Jews infiltrated the churches and eventually got their way. Weissman said on page 132, what we see occurring in the world is not a conflict between God and a supernatural devil, which Judaized theologians promote. The Jews know that as long as Christians believe that imaginary spooks, devils, or Satans are the evil forces, which are to blame for the problems, conflict, wars, etc., they will never see that it is the Jew who God has assigned as an evil force here and now. The result is that Christians will never lift a finger against the menacing Jew as their European ancestors had often done. That's the end of the quote. But this, I believe, is only partly true. Weissman wrote that Judeo-Christians believe in, quote, imaginary spooks, devils, or Satan. But this wasn't true in all the Judeo-Christian churches that I was a member of. In both Arminian and Calvinistic churches that I was a member of, they all believed in Satan. None of them believed in an imaginary evil force. Christianity for over 1,000 years forbade any usury on any of their loans. Over 100 European cities, counties, and nations kicked the Jews out of their land. The King of France, King Louis IX, rounded up all the Jewish Talmuds in the nation and burned them in a gigantic fire. He was made a saint in the Catholic Church for what he did. Jews were required to live in ghettos and were forbidden to vote or to hold any political office. Why did the Christians of that day do all this? One reason was that they believed that the Jews were the offspring of the devil. And didn't Martin Luther write in his booklet, The Jews and Their Lies, page 28 of the American Christian Ministries publication, the following? Quote, as his forerunner, John the Baptist, also says, now such rulers and such merciful saints who wish the Jews well will be the last to let us alone to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, who, of course, knows all hearts better than such merciful saints, that the Jews must be a generation of vipers and children of the devil, that is, who grant us just as much good as their father, the devil, unquote. The satanic seed line hated by God. Weissman writes on the page 22 of his book, Who is Esau Edom? Quote, God not only hates Esau Edom and is against these people, but refers to them as the people of my curse, Isaiah 34:5. The curse is not just on Esau, but also on his seed and his brethren. Still continuing the quote, among Esau's brethren were the Amalekites, which were descended from one of Esau's grandsons, and he gives the verses. It was these Edomite kinsmen whom God had sworn war against from generation to generation, Exodus 17:16. God's hatred of Edom is not a temporary thing, but it is perpetual. The doctrine that God loves everyone does not stand up in the light of what the Bible has to say regarding God's merciless position towards the race of people called Edom. Although the churches have tried to alter God's true nature, we find throughout the Bible God's position towards Esau Edom does not change. Unquote. Weissman doesn't tell who put the blood of Jesus on themselves, as it says in Matthew 27:25, and their children are no longer identified. But it wasn't the Negroid or the Oriental or Indians or Pacific Islands children, for their parents weren't living anywhere close to Palestine. But it was someone else. In Matthew 27:25, it says, then answered all the people and said, his, that's Jesus's, blood be on us, and the chief priests and elders, verse 20, were speaking, and on our, the chief priests and elders' children. And also Matthew 23:33-35, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? But upon you, now who's this? Verse 33, is the Israelite sheep or the Edomite serpents? Become all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Weissman says on page 37, of what about the seed line doctrine, that it was, quote, it was a judgment upon Adamic man, of which Israel was the recognized heir and responsible party. And these Judean Israelites were to bear the judgment for all the unlawful acts of murder committed, whether or not their direct ancestors had done them. This includes the murder of Abel by Cain, because Cain was an Adamite. But right before he made this statement, page 36, he explained who the serpents were. Immediately after Jesus called the scribes and Pharisees serpents and vipers, he brings a charge and judgment against them involving the shedding of innocent blood. In my opinion, if Adam were the father of Cain, his lineage would have drowned in Noah's flood. Jesus wasn't saying that the Judean Israelites were going to hell, but it was, as Weissman said in his other books, there are no Jew who were ever or who will ever be saved. They're the ones going to hell. Weissman said in And Who is Esau's Edom, page 20, that the Jews are the most anti-Christian people on the face of the earth. But there's one more thing. The Judean Israelites, who Weissman said were guilty of the murder of Abel, who was at the beginning of their seed line? It wasn't Cain, but it was Adam Seth. Seth was born after the murder of Abel by Cain. So how could the Judean Israelites be guilty of the murder of Cain if their lineage was born after the murder? Weissman made no comment on this point. Are we at war now? Practically all today's churches are not aware, even when they sing Onward, Christian Soldiers, that they are at war, and that the war is going on right now. In fact, it's been going on for 6,000 years. And most Christian churches of today are certainly ignorant of who their enemy is. Most are unaware of who the Antichrist are. And many Christian identity believers have taken on the dual belief that there's no certain group that is the enemy of Christ or Christians, and that it also is the Jews. How can they say this? It is everyone's flesh, and it is the Jews. There are oxymoron organizations that say the Jews are not our enemy, but are our closest allies. There's the Fellowship of Christian and Jews, the Christians United for Israel, Jews for Jesus, and other organizations to show that both Christians and Jews are supportive of each other. Most Christians have changed their belief that the Jews are to be outcast to the Jews are the greatest people on the face of the earth. But the deceptiveness is revealed when the word anti-Christians is put in place of the word Jew. Fellowship of Christians and anti-Christians. Christians United for Anti-Christians, and Anti-Christians for Jesus. Christian identity diversion. But has Christian identity been infiltrated by this particular group, that is, the Jews, too? You may disagree with me, but I believe that it has. Amen. And what would be the best way to infiltrate Christian identity? Each church is basically autonomous, and there is not a head man or committee or church that determines what the rest of Christian identity churches believe. Many Christian churches and other individual believers follow either Emory, Swift, Comperé, Gale, Rand, Wyland, Jones, Gaiman, Downey, Barley, Butler, Kennedy, Pouch, James, Murray, Ramsey, Robb, Fink, Potts, Blanchard, Peters, Gentry, Kimball, Moore, Capt, Lieutenant Colonel Moore, Dyer, Hoskins, Williams, Jennings, Balakias, Benson, Weissman, or etc., or a combination of several. But one can't follow all of them, for there are a lot of differences among all these so-called Christian identity preachers. Some are very minor, which is to be expected, but there are some major differences. As I've gotten older, there is less and less that I believe from most of these preachers for the following reasons. Some are universalists. Others say that the promises are exclusively to Israel only. Some say that Adam was the father of Cain. Others say it was the serpent. Some say the Jews are satanic. Others say there is no Satan. Some celebrate the Mass of Christ. Others say this celebration has nothing to do with Christianity. Some say the Jews derive all their evilness from certain cursed or rejected Israelites. Others say that is just the reverse. Some say that Judaites were guilty of the murder of Jesus Christ. Others say it was the Jews. Some say that Jesus Christ was not divine. Others teach that he is part of the Godhead. Some say the Jews are the most evil and anti-Christian people in the world. Others believe there are some good Jews. Some teach that all Israel shall be saved, while others teach that only Israelites who repent and are obedient to the Lord God will be saved. Some teach the worldwide flood occurred during the days of Noah, while others believe the worldwide flood happened prior to the creation of Adam. Some teach there is no devil, angels, or giants. Others teach they all exist, etc. Now, practically all the readers or listeners of this sermon are offended. But there are a lot of differences in Christian identity, almost as much as there are in traditional Christianity. About 60 years ago, there wasn't much division. The older preachers like Emory Swift, Gale, Rand, and Gaiman, and Comperé set the stage that would be added by the later preachers. We owe them great respect for teaching the true gospel message, that the recipients of the everlasting Abrahamic covenant are our own people, not the Jewish imposters. The younger preachers could read and study the sermons of the elder preachers and spend hours seeing how they agree or disagree with Scripture. But could many of the older preachers have been led astray by our enemy before they died? So now Christian identity is almost hopelessly split into contrasting non-negotiable views. Many, but thankfully not all, say terrible things about the other side till there is little hope of ever coming to a solution. And I wonder if many people who say that they believe what the different authors on both sides say actually read their books closely. For many books that are recommended oppose the views of those recommending the books. The younger preachers have taken both sides of this controversial position. But there is little discussion. That there is little discussion of what they either preach or write in the books. This is one of the purposes of this sermon, to ask questions about what has been written and to point out inconsistencies in what has been said in their books. For example, the book, Who Was Esau Edom?, written by Charles A. Weissman, has much approval in today's Christian identity churches. Here's a quote from page 57, which almost everyone in Christian identity would approve. Quote, "The connection between the white race and Christianity and the Jews with Judaism, or the religion of the Jews as expressed in their Talmud, is contrary to the precepts of the Christian Bible. What the Bible approves of, the Talmud disapproves of. And what the Bible prohibits, the Talmud allows in some form." And on page 59, Weissman adds, "Nowhere in Scripture is such hatred and animosity to be found as that which Esau Edom had for Jacob Israel. The most obvious evidence of the perpetual hatred Jews have towards the white Christian people is found in their own Talmud." Weissman is, in my opinion, correct when he identifies the Jews as having perpetual hatred towards the Christian people. But is there a verse or verses in the Bible that would agree with this statement? The Bible tells its reader that there would be a people who would have a perpetual hatred towards the people of God. Now, where in the Bible does that enduring, forever intense hostility come from? Why didn't anyone else get this perpetual hatred? Why is it aimed at only Christians? Is this where they got their hatred? Genesis 3:15, and I, the Lord God, will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman Eve, and enmity between thy, the serpent's seed, and her, Eve's seed. If the serpent's seed is not the Jews, who have an eternal hatred of Christianity, then who is the serpent's seed? If the enmity that God puts in both the serpent and Eve had in their two seeds, then who did the serpent have sexual relations with to have seed or offspring? Weissman does not answer these questions. So how did the Jews become so much eviler than the rest of the world? Weissman attempts to answer this question. He talks about the Ashkenazi Jews on page 14. He says that these people are not true Judaites, but became a mixed or hybridized people consisting of Edomites, Hittites, Canaanites, Judaites, Babylonians, Ishmaelites, Huns, Khazars, etc. He also adds, because of the Jews' mixed ancestry, history is sketchy as to their origins from Japheth, not Shem, Esau, or the other people in the Bible. Weissman quotes Ashley Montague from his book, Man's Most Dangerous Myth, page 375, and on page 13 of his book, quote, the original mixed ancestry of the Jews and their subsequent history of intermixture with every people among whom they have lived and continue to live. What was the Jews' original mixed ancestry that Montague stated? It wasn't the birth of Esau. Does it go back to the birth of Cain in the garden? But here's where Weissman, in my opinion, is incorrect. He writes in his book on page 99, and who killed Abel? Cain did. And though he was an Adamite, his descendants are not. The loss of Adamic heritage was their punishment for murder. Weissman wrote that Cain was an Adamite, but Cain's descendants were not Adamites. Why? Weissman put out an interesting answer. He said that Cain lost his Adamic heritage because he murdered an innocent person. Where in the scripture that says that he lost his Adamic heritage because of his murder? Weissman then wrote that Cain and his descendants married people who were of other races. Cain married a person from India. This is what Richard Hoskins wrote. Was he lying? It couldn't be a person from the Adamic race, unless you agree with answers in Genesis that he married one of Adam's daughters. But then his offspring would still be Adamic if his father was Adam. Weissman doesn't name who the wife of Cain was, just that she was a foreigner. But Weissman adds on page 23 of his booklet that, quote, there is not one favorable or positive statement in the Bible in relation of Esau-Edom. And only one group of people reacts as though God has a hatred for them, that is the Jews. 6 pages later, he says, the Jews claim to be the torchbearers of civilization, but through their parasitic habits have deteriorated or destroyed every nation in which they have existed in large numbers. But this differs greatly from what Ted R. Weiland writes in his book. For Ted says, and Eve, did she or didn't she, on page 79, that, quote, there is not one passage in the entire Bible that indicts the Canaanites or the Edomites for Yahshua's assassination. Weissman says there's not one passage of scripture in the entire Bible that is favorable or positive about the Esau-Edomites, while Weiland says there's not one passage that indicts the Edomites for the murder of Jesus the Christ. What a difference. Well, Weissman writes about the first attempt to kill Jesus the Christ on page 62 of his book, Who is Esau Edom? He says, Herod had a talk in secret to the wise men, telling them to diligently search for the young child, Jesus, and when they found him, to come back and tell him, so he may come and worship him also, Matthew 2:7-8. This was actually a ruse so that Herod could kill Christ. Herod, like his father Antipater, was an Edoman, or an Edomite by birth. Herod the Edomite had such a hatred for Christ and what he represented that he had ordered a mass execution to make sure that Jesus would be killed. Had not the angel of the Lord instructed Joseph to flee to Egypt with Jesus, Herod would surely have succeeded in killing him. That's one of over two dozen passages that tell of the planning and plotting of the Edomite Jews to murder Jesus Christ. And what about the Canaanites that came before the Edomite Jews? The two kingdoms on the eastern side of the Jordan River, the Amorites, who were ruled by King Sihon and King Og, were annihilated by the Israelites under Moses. All the men, women, and children were slaughtered. There was not one person left. It was genocide. What was wrong with the Amorites? They were one of the seven nations of the Canaanites. Their family tree ran through Noah, Ham, not Shem, and Canaan. It was a different family tree than Esau had in his beginnings. Besides the Amorites, what about the rest of the Canaanites? What about the Perizzites? What about the Rephaim? What about the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, the Horites, the Jebusites? This was the family tree that Esau married into. And the Canaanites had married into the Kenite family line, who were just as evil as the Canaanites, who were just as evil as the Jews. A third option. Weissman agreed that the serpent was an intelligent being who was able to establish an order in the world that was contrary to the order of God. He also agreed that the serpent was able to seduce Eve, but Weissman refused to identify who the serpent was and what was his deceit. Weissman said on page 15 in his book, What About the Seed Line Doctrine? Quote, in Eden, God established an order in which Adam and Eve were without sin, had dominion over all creation, and had a special relationship with God. The serpent was opposed to that order, but could not do on his own do anything about it. So it engaged in deceit to get Adam and Eve to upset that order and consequently establishing a new order, a new world order, one which gave the serpent dominion over man. Christ's mission was to destroy this system and bring man back into his original relationship with God. According to his writings, Weissman believed in the serpent and his seed line, but he did not believe that this evil seed line came from intercourse with Eve. He believes in a third option. He does not fall in the no Satan group, nor does he promote the dual seed line group. He is the third option in between both. Here's one quote that he made about this. But what about a satanic seed line? The existence of such a thing is also in Scripture. So the question is not if the satanic seed line exists, but why they exist. It seems that all the satanic seed lines that existed in Scripture were due to the fact that one of their ancestors were cursed or rejected by God. That's What About the Seed Line Doctrine, page 52. Weissman argues that the satanic seed line is in existence, but they exist because of their ancestors were cursed or rejected by God. To prove his point, he then names the individuals that were either cursed or rejected by God on page 55 of his book, What About the Seed Line Doctrine. Quote, the evil and ungodliness of the Jews is actually derived from certain members of our race, the white Adamic race, which have been cursed or rejected by God. Then he names the people, Cain, Canaan, Ishmael, Esau, Amalek, the evil figs of Judah, and Judeans who rejected Christ. But Cain was not a pure-seeded member of the white Adamic race. Canaan was not cursed by God, but by Noah. Ishmael was not cursed by God, but was blessed. Esau sinned by racial intermarriage. Amalek was not a pure-seed member of the white race, as he was the grandson of Esau. The evil figs of Judah were not of the pure race either, nor were the Judeans who rejected Christ. Satan's seed. So in my opinion, Weissman's explanation of why the Satan seed line exists consists of two different explanations. Number one, they were derived from certain cursed and rejected members of our race and punishment for the murder of Abel. The devil's seed is now dwelling in 192 countries. They are global. Many have dual citizenships, one with Israeli and the other with the country they are living in. There are 12 members in the Senate, 29 members of the House of Representatives, and 33 members of the cabinet who have dual citizenship. Weissman identifies the Canaanite Edomite Jews as being the most wicked and anti-Christian people on the earth, who have a never-ending hatred of Christ and his followers, and he states they are part of the Satanic seed line. But this Satanic seed line, Weissman says, was derived from certain members of the white Adamic race. But Weissman would disagree with many of his fellow anti-seed line Israelites, for he would not work with any Jew. He believed they were all evil and enemies of our people. He wrote that there was no Canaanite or Jew that was ever saved. My conclusion. Weissman wrote a lot of books. Here are some of them. Who is Esau Edom? The Origin of Race and Civilization. The Anthology of Racial Issues. A Handbook of Bible Law. Life, Liberty, and Property. Not of One Blood. That's against Answers in Genesis book. Jewish Identity. Salvation and Eternal Life. Is Universalism of God. Origin of Race and Civilization. Antichrist in the Land. Facts and Fictions Regarding Noah's Flood. Anthology of Racial Issues. What About the Seed Line Doctrine? Plus many more, and many of them dealt with the law. Very few, if any, people who recommend that you read Weissman books have ever read all of them themselves. I haven't read all of them either. He wrote so many books, it would take a long time to read them all. And some books contrast what he said in another book. From these books on theology, here is a summary of some of the things that he taught. The Canaanite Edomite Jews, not one of these inherently wicked descendants, were ever saved. But he didn't believe it was the Canaanite Edomite Jews. God's hatred of Edom is not a temporary thing, but is perpetual. Adam was not the first man. There were many races that are pre-Adamic. A serpent seed line is in the world today. A belief that Satan existed. Jews had interracial relationships with Israelites who were cursed and rejected by God. Jews are the most wicked and anti-Christian people of all the earth. At the time of Christ, all Jews were Israelites. Personal salvation can apply to most anyone. Doesn't that make Weissman universal? Salvation, Eternal Life, page 71. Christian civilization has been greatly deceived by the Jewish influence religion called Judeo-Christianity, as was prophesied by Christ in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. The only way Christians will adopt non-biblical or anti-Christian concepts, such as interracial marriage, or the total equality of all races, is under the guise of Christianity. That's from The Origin of Race and Civilization, page 173. Identity adherents have also succumbed to the same psychological problem by their making the Jews in the New Testament as being Edomites, Canaanites, or mixed-race people. If you believe that you are an Israelite, then as a Christian, it is naturally hard to accept that Israelites were against Christ and wanted to kill him. It is much more appealing to have these people be of an enemy race than of your own race. The truth is these Jews or Judeans were Israelites. though many of their descendants became a part of the hybrid Jews of today. What about the seed line doctrine, page 56? Part of the problem with Christian identity is the contrasting and different opinions on different beliefs. For example, who is the seed line doctrine? Weissman says the Cainites, Edomite Jews, are the intermarriage of cursed and rejected Adamic people. This seed line is the most wicked and anti-Christian of all peoples on the earth. No supernatural devil exists in this plan. Their final destiny is hell. Weiland says, there is no satanic seed line, but there is no Satan. The true Judeo-Israelites murdered Jesus. The Jew is not the most wicked and anti-Christian people on the face of the earth. Our Israel forefathers are to blame, not some imaginary seed line of Satan. Emery says, there is no satanic seed line, for there is no Satan. Our great adversary is our own fleshly lust within our body. Gaiman says, the serpent's offspring includes Cain, whose descendants married the Canaanite descendants, who married the Edomite descendants, who married a few of the Israelite descendants, and others from all the different races. They are all mixed race. Their final destiny is hell. They have been a snare and a thorn to the pure Adamic race of the Israelites, the descendants of the Abrahamic covenant. I said all that to say this. Have there been Jews in the Christian identity movement? Yes, there have been. Has a Jew ever gone to one of our church services or conference meetings? Or has a Jew ever read one of our church newsletters? Or has a Jew ever read a sermon for one of our church's websites? I don't know for sure, but they no doubt have. I know of one who teaches Christian identity on the radio, but is a universalist. His daughter married an Egyptian, and his other daughter was dating a Chinese person. Where they broke up or got married doesn't matter. This person has even changed his name from the time that I joined him on his radio broadcast to now. So I'm guilty of being on the radio as a guest of a Jewish individual. And there was another person who many say was a Jew, who started a Christian identity organization that put out literature that was passed out at a state fair for several decades. She was even sued by a state legislature and a college professor who claimed she had defamed him as she claimed that he was a communist. She died 30 years ago and handed the organization she founded off to one of the Christian identity preachers. Another preacher was a vice president of the organization that she founded. She was the author of a book that influenced many people in the Christian identity movement. I'm going to repeat that. She wrote a book. It influenced many people in the Christian identity movement. More about her in my next sermon. May God have mercy on our souls. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.